and we know the scriptures, there's nothing that can touch us as far as deception or anything like that, or temptation. See, that's the thing. I want to be well oiled when it comes to dealing with temptation now. I want to be able to overcome temptation now in the time of peace, so that when the time of war would come, of the war against Satan, so to speak, the war that's coming against the saints, that I would be ready to endure temptation as well as hardship. We have to be able to endure both things, and to endure also the deception. You know, it's sort of a threefold thing. Our bodies will deal with hardship, our minds are going to deal with temptation, and also with deception. But the deception is a form of temptation. So it's really temptation of the flesh and temptation of the spirit. But when they finish their testimony, they're going to be killed, and they're going to rise from their dead, and then Jesus is going to return. That's the end. So our testimony is really the cap on the end times. After we're finished with our testimony, and when the gospel is preached to the whole world, then the end's going to come. It's funny what they think of as they try to fulfill this great commission, as they call it, in bringing the gospel to the world. And they send Billy Graham's voice out. Billy Graham is a false prophet. He's a false prophet, a false teacher. I just like to be able to say that so I can offend a few people. Because you know why? It says false prophets are going to rise and deceive many. And he's a good one. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Whoso readeth, let him understand. You know, people think of the abomination of desolation as Antiochus Epiphanes in the Old Testament times, who came in and sacrificed, I believe it was a pig, on the altar to Zeus in the temple of God. And other people think, oh, it's Titus when the Romans came in and destroyed the temple. Maybe it's the Dome of the Rock. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's something yet to come. The one who's reading ought to understand this. Understand, what is the abomination of desolation? I can't think it would be nothing other than what Paul described. In 2 Thessalonians, it says, chapter 2, that the man of sin will be revealed, the son of perdition. Then verse 4 says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Not showing it reflexively to himself, but literally exhibiting himself that he is God. Meaning, making an exhibit of himself. Look at me, I'm God. As Jesus said, I come in the name of my Father, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And maybe I suddenly had a quickening in my mind. You will not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. And they're going to say that again. When the one who comes is this one, standing in the temple of God, showing himself, I'm God, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ. There are not going to be many Christs. There will be false Christs. There have been false Christs. Minimal. But there is going to be the false Christ as well. The one that it all looks to. The one that Antiochus was only a type of. The one that Titus was only a shadow of. He's going to come. What? Now you know. What withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time? There's something holding him back that he might be revealed. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of sin. It's already at work. Only he who now letteth, which means to hold back, will hold back till he be taken out of the way. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's going to be raptured out of the world. If the Holy Spirit was raptured out of the world, then how would the two witnesses prophesy? How are they going to prophesy if the Holy Spirit isn't in the world? How is anyone going to be converted in the end times if the Holy Spirit isn't in the world? What a bunch of ridiculousness. No, Satan is held back, and God's going to stop holding him back. And he's going to take it out of the way. The restraining power, whatever, he's going to let him loose. That's all. He's going to let him loose. People get all freaked out trying to understand, oh, because you know why? Their minds are perverted, and they want to pervert the scriptures into something that it is not. They want to use this to overthrow what is said before, that the day will not come of Christ returns until after the events. Christ is going to return after these events. We're going to be here. We're going to do the works of God. I'm excited about it. So when you see him standing in the holy place, the temple of God, the temple Mount, I mean, people say the Jews have to rebuild a temple. They don't really have to even rebuild it. He could stand there and build it himself. You know, Antichrist could build a temple. He could do a lot of things, but whatever. He could stand on the Temple Mount claiming he's God. He doesn't even have to build anything there. He could use the Dome of the Rock if he wants, for all I care. It doesn't matter. The whole point is of him standing on the place of Mount Zion. As in Isaiah, Satan longs to stand on Mount Zion. He says, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And beautiful for situation is Mount Zion in the sides of the north. The sides of the north refers to the slopes of Zion. From the book of Psalms makes that clear that Zion is the sides of the north. That is the way a figure that they use to refer to it. The sides of the north. You know, like they say, don't they have a saying for, you know, Capitol Hill? The West Wall, you know, the West Wall. You know, there's all different terms that refer to places. The sides of the north refers to Zion, the place where the temple is. Satan is going to place himself there, showing the world that he is God. Like it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beasts. They worshiped him. And he will have all kinds of power and signs and lying wonders. He's going to make fire come down from heaven in the sight of men. And I assume many other such like things he will do. But when you see that, when you see that's a sign. Now what Jesus says, when you see this happen, now flee to the mountains, run away. Let him who is on the housetop, don't go down in the house. I mean, he's going to slay the two witnesses. He's going to proclaim himself to be God. And the Lord will come and destroy him. And he's saying, that's why, let them that be in Judea flee away from that place. I don't say that, I don't know that they're going to, but they ought to. Let them that be in Judea flee away. Run. Run. Him that is in the housetop, don't go back. I didn't read this word. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except that those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So we see Christ speaking of this terrible time when he comes, when that one sets himself up as God, and the real tribulation comes, and the real trouble begins. Trouble, you know, men's hearts failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the world, the plagues. But the greatest terror of all is when he slays the witnesses and they begin to rejoice. They begin to party. When they begin to party and they begin to rejoice, that's the time to run away. That's the time